Hello, and welcome to Season 6, Episode 2 of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. I'm Becca, and this is a podcast that features members of the Virtual Coffee community. Virtual Coffee is an intimate group of developers at all stages of their coding journey, and they're here on this podcast sharing their stories and what they've learned. And we're here to share it with you. Here with me today is my co-host, Dan.
Hello. How's it going, Becca?
It is going fabulous.
That's so much less satisfying to say than what up, Beck. I think I'm just going to start saying that every episode.
Fine. It's fine. That's cool.
Anyway, yes, today we have another, awesome, obviously, guest.
It's a theme. Bogdan. Theme for season yes. six is awesomeness.
Yes, and really all of our seasons, honestly. But yeah, we have Bogdan Kovrig here. He is a software developer from the Netherlands. And he it was really great having him on. He just finished school like last year sometime, right? Or this year? Last year? I don't know, recently.
Time has not existed over the last two years.
I have no idea. But he talks about that. He talks about experience in school, going through school, and then, you know, his experiences as a developer. And it was really fun. Really good talking to him.
It's always interesting to think about the journeys that people take to get them to the roles that they're in. And so I think Bogdan is one of the first people or one of the few people that we've talked to who's been an educator, as in like in a university setting, teaching people about coding and to hear what that was like and what he learned from that experience that brought him to where he is right now.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I was very curious to hear about that. And I did some computer science in school and in college, and it was a long time ago. And I don't know, I was curious to hear about, I'm also just curious to hear about what it's like in a classroom right now as a developer, as you know, in a college classroom, as opposed to boot camps and things like that. And and also, I don't know. The idea of teaching is just like so beyond anything I've ever done. Like, you know, teaching a semester's worth of classes, you know. I was curious about it. And so it was really nice to hear about it from Bogdan.
Yeah, and to hear the process that he went through as he was trying to figure out like what's next for him in his career path. And we start every episode of this podcast, like we start every virtual coffee. We introduce ourselves with our name, where we're from, what we do, and a random check-in question. So we hope you enjoy this episode. Today's random check-in question is, what is your favorite condiment? My name is Becca. I'm a technical community builder, and my favorite condiment is hot sauce. Definitely. That goes on everything.
That's a good one. Yeah. All right. Hi, I'm Dan. I do web development in Cleveland. I don't have a super favorite. I'd say there's this taco place in near where I live called Bamba's. And they have this like sauce, and you can, when you order like a taco box to go, you know, like it's like a family box or whatever, they'll give you just like a whole thing of it, a whole like bottle of it. Nice. And, when we do that, I use it for like the next 2 weeks on like everything. So I can't really describe it. I think it has garlic in it. Certainly. It may be some sort of ale-y maybe. I don't actually know.
And is it spicy?
It's not spicy. Yeah. It's a little creamy, I guess. Although saying creamy makes it sound weird. I don't know. but it's good. And I don't want to know really. I like the mystery of it. You know what I mean? It's just like this magical thing that shows up and then it goes away. And then a couple months later, we'll order, you know, the tacos again and it'll be back in my life. But I don't want to have the mystery. Like maybe it's just some junky thing that they buy off. It probably is something that I could just buy at the grocery store, you know, but I don't want to know.
Is it like mayonnaise-y?
I don't know.
Does it need refrigerated?
I mean, I put it in the refrigerator. I don't know. Why would you have an open bottle of some sort of sauce that you didn't put in the refrigerator?
Hot sauce doesn't go in the refrigerator.
It doesn't?
We can grow some do. I feel like some do, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, like I mean, Tabasco, do you put Tabasco in the
No, I don't think it needs to be. Really? There's a lot of vinegar in it, and that doesn't need to be refrigerated.
We've had these refrigerator talks before. I don't know the rules, so I just assume everything goes in because it seems safer to me.
Tomatoes do not go in the refrigerator.
Right, this is what I'm saying. I don't have the knowledge to argue with you about it. I just put things in the fridge because that always seems like the safer option, you know what I mean, to me.
Do you put your oil in the fridge?
No.
Yeah, that'll be weird.
All right. Yeah, that'd be weird. I actually had a friend, Emily's brother actually, got in the habit of keeping his cereal like in the fridge, because he said it kept it, like, it would not go stale as fast. You know, it would stay fresh longer.
How long did he keep his cereal?
I don't know. I mean, he's just like living alone, you know, I don't know. But like, we went on vacation all together at this little cottage with this tiny fridge, and the whole fridge was full of cereal. We're like, no, man, we're putting this in the cabinet. That's where I draw the line. Cereal doesn't go in the fridge.
I'm glad you draw the line there.
Oil, no, I know enough not to put oil in the fridge. Other than that, I'll put things in the fridge, and then sometimes Emily will say, hey, that doesn't go in the fridge, dummy. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. But the sauce, I don't want to know whether it does or not, you know what I mean? Because I don't want to know anything about it. That's my point. So I'm
you
just putting it in the
fridge.
You
don't want to know about it. That's weird.
Right. It's a mystery. No, I like it. Like, it tastes very good. Mysteries. I feel like if I learn about it, it'll become less good.
Or you'll just be disgusted by it.
All right,
I mean, that is a very serious, that is an actual possibility too. I don't want that to happen either. All right, I'm done.
Okay, hello everybody. I am Bogdan. I'm from Romania, but I'm a software engineer in the Netherlands. I've been living here for almost 5 years, moved from a tiny city in Romania to a tiny city in the Netherlands. And I like it, and I don't want to leave. And I think, are we talking about sauce or condiments?
Well, I consider some sauce as a condiment.
Okay.
So.
I get
pasta
it.
Sauce is not a condiment, right?
Yeah, pasta sauce doesn't.
No, I get it. I was just, because one of the best thing that I discovered and absolutely changed my life, my friends got me like this jar of chipotle pepper or whatever. I don't know how it works. I don't know how, but it's just amazing because then I put it in absolutely everything. I mean, not everything. Nice. Everything that goes with like tomato sauce or tomatoes, I just, for some of those, and it's just amazing, like the smoky everything. So yeah, but otherwise it's garlic. Usually it's garlic. Like garlic goes into everything, and then
I mean garlic's delicious.
Yeah, and smoked paprika also. Like if there's something that needs to be, I don't know, smoked stuff, it's amazing, and garlic as well. So yeah,
I like it.
I think all those things in a sauce together would be great.
Yeah. I think, yeah, but I have to agree, like, with Dan's friend, like, living alone, like, it just, there are no rules, I do what I want, I put everything where I want, and also, I'm the only one that needs to know where it's placed, so, yeah.
You put your chipotle condiment in the refrigerator?
I do, but I'm not sure if I have to. I don't think it's forbidden, right? But it keeps me sane. Because I had the tiny Tabasco bottles, but like I feel like the vinegar goes up, and then I try to shake it, and it doesn't, and then it's only vinegary, and I don't like it, so I keep it in the fridge just to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
But I don't know.
Try that experiment.
I don't know, but no, tomatoes don't go in the fridge. Like, it's just not. It's the way it is, my friend.
Yes, 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being with us here today, Bogdan. And we like to start every podcast episode with your origin story. So talk to us a little bit about how you got into tech.
Okay, thank you for having me. I would start with, like, I think it's very unfair how clear Dan sounds compared to the two of us, Becca. Because you don't post it like this. You don't sound that cool in the actual podcast, do you? Like, there's some mixing going on. Right?
Wait, are you saying...
You sound very cool.
Oh,
and I don't. I don't know, but I'm looking at those things moving on the screen, and yours are bigger.
Well, I might just be talking louder or having my, it might be too loud. Actually, I wasn't really looking at it till just now.
I think this looks different on different screens too.
That's like, probably true.
Mine
too.
Looks very tiny, like barely. So
yeah,
so,
yours
okay,
is probably
if you're
honestly like. I mean, and I try to do this. Like, I fix this up in editing later. I try to, right? Yeah. So this is like sound engineering stuff that I've been learning on the fly since we were started recording the podcast. So I don't know a lot about it, but like the trying to get those levels, you know, to where it's close to the edges is usually the best. So Becca's like, like Pacto was saying, is you're a little quiet still, you know?
I'm quiet.
A little bit, not a lot.
You turn up my sound. You didn't tell me to.
Well, I didn't really notice before. And also I don't know if we're going to cut this or not, but for people listening, we use Zencastr and it doesn't show you these nice level outputs until you're recording, which is really obnoxious. It's hard to tell. So I don't know, but Bogdan, is that the wave one, wave three?
You are wave three, but no, it was a compliment. We don't have to go into it.
Oh no, it's also very, I just got the wave three.
Yeah.
Like last week.
I have,
and I spent day getting it set up, so I can send you some stuff.
It's wave three, right? It is.
It looks
it's wave three. Yeah. It's nice.
I like it too. I just got it, 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago. So I'll send you some stuff.
Is your room like prepared for this? Cause you sound insanely good.
Nope,
like there's no way my sound's like this.
Yours sounds pretty
really good.
I think one thing is you probably could be closer to your mic. Maybe not. I don't know. When you're moving away. So like if I sit back here, does that sound, that sounds like noticeably worse, more echoey?
So for the listeners, Dan has scooted his seat back about 4 feet.
Yeah, good. So that was the one thing I read about, so they do like the hang 10 like this, you know, or whatever. And then that's the like distance from your mouth to the microphone that it should
move,
be.
Which is
right.
Also,
and that's hard. Yeah. It's hard not to, it's hard not to move. But like that gets you picked up more, but then there's a bunch of other stuff too. So we don't have to get into it on that. Maybe we can just do a whole episode on it sometime.
Sorry.
Maybe a live stream and then the visual will be easier to see.
Yeah, screen the shit, share the screen.
Anyway, I don't know
origin,
what you're saying,
origin story.
We're talking about origin story. Well, it's very linear and rather boring, but because I did, so in Romania we have high schools that are very specialized, and I did one of those with computer science, so I kind of knew I wanted. I have, my family is mainly like musicians. A lot of them are trained musicians. So I didn't want to do that because I thought it's boring. And fired back to me a few years later. But yeah, I thought it's boring. So I went straight to like this mathematics, computer science high school. So I kind of knew I wanted to do this. I kind of hated it at the time as well. You know, the whole C, C++ things that don't make any sense when you're young and you just want to make, what's the rectangle move on the screen, right? I'd rather spend my, Anyways, but yeah, I graduated that and then I moved to the Netherlands to do applied computer science, which was another surprise because it was this program of like computer science, of course, but like electrical engineering as well, which, look, I could have looked it up and I did look it up. Like I kind of knew what the program was, right? But I wasn't sure if it's going to be a lot of, I didn't even know what's electrical engineering and turned out to be like very, not cool. Like not towards the field itself, I was just, for me, like in university years, it was, I was like, still I want to make rectangles move. But then I got super lucky in my first year of university. I think I got a job, remote job in Romania for like one of my friend's father that had this like e-commerce kind of low-key business, where I got into Node. I did not lie on my interview, but something made him think I actually know Node. I did know about Node, right?
Heard of it. Yeah.
Cause I did. So I remember. So the very first thing I did, like web development, was back in high school, it was like this P5GS, which is still around and very much happening, but there was this people doing this coding train. They were super into it. And I did like, they did like the snake and I did the snake. And then I wanted to do like a multiplayer thing or like a chat room for it. And I knew that you can use Node to do that. And that was the only information I had. And I was like, yeah, you can do like WebSockets, right? Yeah. But anyways, they were very nice to me, and they actually hired me, and I learned a lot about like databases and Node and stuff like that. And then the second year of university came in when I was actually teaching more programming, and I finally kind of overlapped the two and be like, oh, okay, I'm doing this for my job. I'm learning about this. You know, even in school, we learned a bit like about testing and CI, CD and things like that. And I was like, oh, this is actually cool and useful. So I tried to finish school, then continued. Then I got a university job, like teaching Java, which was bad. Look, I have this theory, and I hope I never have to get a teaching job again. Because if I say this, no, I don't. It's not a hot take, but it's just like teaching programming. It's so easy because you just say I'm gonna show you how to Google, and if they have questions, you just Google in front of them, and find out things together, which is nice, you know. They also need to know how to Google. But yeah, and then I got an internship at another university, but for research, and then I moved here to another city while still studying. I did my internship. I got a full contract after, but Corona happened, so I was staying here working full time while. Finishing my bachelor, basic, or barely, like trying to finish my bachelor. And then the Maastricht University research position was absolutely amazing. Like it was academia, which was kind of new to me, because I always knew I want to be a developer, right, or an engineer. But I was like, okay, we can combine this, right? I don't know a lot about research, but I know about development. So we can definitely overlap, because it was also like a legal kind of legal tech space where they had a lot of data, where they had a lot of ideas about tech, but they did the developers. So yeah, we kind of combined it very nice, but things slowly came to an end. And finally, 2 months ago, I got a new software engineering job to a digital creative internet, whatever they call it, agency. In the Netherlands. So I plan to stay doing Node, basically. Node, React, TypeScript, things like that. So yeah, I think that's it. This is today. Just recently joined.
Very cool. Yeah. You recently joined. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Yeah, no, that was it. Just recently, 2 months ago, I think. It was April, so.
So I want to back up a little bit and ask some questions about the schooling that you've done. So it sounds like there was maybe more practical application than I've seen from universities in the United States, which computer science degrees have a lot of like theoretical content, algorithms, and that kind of stuff. Is that an accurate statement, or were you doing a lot of that stuff too?
We were doing that for sure as well. But yeah, with an eye on electrical engineering and kind of like, so in the Netherlands, they have this system of like universities, what they call universities, research universities, which is basically like a college university in US as well, right? Where they, you know, they teach, you know, like a normal university, and they have these things, this like, this, what they call Hoge schools, or like HBOs, where like more professional schools. In English, they call them universities of applied sciences, but it's in Dutch doesn't really go. It's not really. I think it's a university, but like, yeah, there's a difference. You get like more of a very engineering, like kind of applied hands-on experience. It's also longer. It's 4 years instead of three, and you have to do internships. You have to work with companies. You have to work with clients and things like that. Which is for people that want to do, you know, want to get straight to work and things like that, which goes very well for like engineering and things like that.
Yeah, interesting.
So it was one of those, you know, where you have like more like programming, but like kind of rather like the applied part was like more the electrical part rather than web, right? Like we didn't learn about web development, but we did learn about operating systems or microcontrollers or things that go into electrical engineering field.
Did you have to do assembly?
I did not, fortunately. Oh, no, but it was insane. Like I absolutely it was insane. And we did microcontrollers, of course, and all that like chip programming and things like that, which I absolutely dreaded. And I couldn't wait to be over. Although it was interesting, right? Like operating systems as well, such an interesting thing. But it's just like the whole thing of like patterns and ideas and things you can have in web development, I couldn't have in operating systems. You know, you can't get too creative about it, because there are, especially in microcontrollers, like they have these huge books and guides about them, and you have to know things and you have to look for things that are just set, right? Or I don't know enough to make this conclusion, but it's still like the way I saw it was like, this is, I can't be creative here, you know? But I finished it anyways. But yeah.
No, I love that. I love hearing about that. You know, and you have used this phrase a few times when you're telling this story about, like I didn't get to move around boxes or, you know, move around boxes. Yeah. And like, I know that's like a funny way of saying it, but I totally connect with that, because that's something that I personally, like, I don't think, I mean, I never put it exactly like that, but it's the same thing of that. The thing that drew me to programming was moving around boxes, or like doing a thing and then getting to see it like move or happen, or just see it in front of me. Right. And while like academically, some of the more like operating, the lower level stuff is, you know, interesting, maybe, you know, I totally lost my connection to all of it. Like I think I've said this before, that's when I switched majors out of computer science. I was deep into that like section, you know what I mean? As doing assembly, and I don't think I was, that semester had even done any thing where I got to like hit save or compile and see something happen, you know what I mean? And it was just like, and I lost my interest, you know? And I think it seems like you have acknowledged that in, you know, yourself, and used that as maybe, whether it was consciously or not, use that as like a sort of driving force in finding, you know, your path, and like your happiness. Like you could have possibly, maybe some people, I guess, could have forced themselves down the line of, you know, the electrical engineering and gotten a job, I don't know, soldering things or something. I don't know. I don't know. I just connect with that. I just wanted to like kind of highlight that, because it finding what makes you happy in a field is important, especially a field like computer science, because there are going to be some people that will get into those microcontrollers and be totally hooked, you know? And
of course,
some people not, right? You know?
And, yeah,
right. Exactly. Yeah. No, so I think that's great.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I'm not, yeah, it's just like, also like, I remember since I was younger from high school, like people had a thing for Arduinos, which I think that's why I thought it's going to be cool, because like everybody was like, oh my God, Arduino, like we have to do this and things like that. And I'm like, I loved it, right? I think it's cool, like Raspberry Pis and things like that. It's fun. But I agree with you. Like I need to see immediate change, and I need a reaction from things I'm doing, because otherwise I feel like I spend the whole day doing nothing. That's not super productive.
So when you were doing the research part of things, was that more data science-y, or what were you doing there?
Yeah, kind of. We had a lot of, there was data science part. And again, diving in with little data science knowledge, because I didn't study that. I had ideas. I knew Python, for example, but I got very lucky to find this amazing person that really, really took care of everything, like my mentor and one of my manager bosses, whatever, the person that I actually got a job through. And she was super amazing, and she found all these cool opportunities and all these relations and connections and papers we wrote and projects we got in. So I had the time to learn it on the way, right? Like, I didn't have to worry, like, oh, what am I going to do now? I was just like, I knew what I have to do, but I also knew what I have to learn. So that was amazing. But then we also did APIs, for example, which was my previous job as well. And I think this is one of the things that kind of helped them make the decision to hire me, because they were working already on these APIs. But again, related to data, like we had a lot of data. We need to serve it to different sources, to different other universities, for example, create some user interfaces and stuff like that. So we created this APIs for them, which was more engineering. But then, yeah, the data science part, we did a lot of machine learning and analysis and NLP for the papers we were writing. It's very different and definitely something that I really enjoy doing, but I knew it the whole way, and it was almost 3 years, right? I knew the whole time I don't want to do that. I really much enjoyed it, and I really much loved working with all these people, but I knew for sure it's not something I'm gonna spend my next whatever years doing.
So was there like a moment that you realized that, or it was just kind of like, I can do this, but I'm not super interested in it?
Yeah, well, I kind of learned on the job, right? So I didn't have a moment to actually reflect, but it was keep on coming. I am talking about moving rectangles again. This is very silly, so don't take it too seriously, but it is. No, it's not that seriously. But I like things to look good. It's very silly, but I like the tools that I use to look very good. And Jupyter notebooks are not. And then, of course, you can load them in VS Code and things like that. But the whole concept of like staring the whole day at those notebooks was something. It was something weird for me. I was like, it's not supposed to be like that. I don't know if you ever worked with data or with people that are doing data stuff, but those notebooks are getting extremely messy. I don't know if it's for everybody or it was just for us. It was insanely messy. Like there was impossible to like pick up a notebook I wrote, 3 weeks ago, and I still understand it. Like it was insane. So I was like, I don't know for how long I can like guessing my thoughts, So of course, I mean, there are ways to do it better. It's not like I tried everything. It was just like the comfort of like working and things like that, I think more. And also I didn't know, and I still don't know, and I'm not at all interested in statistics, which of course we can argue if that's important or not. But I felt like I should. Like we were always talking about these models and probabilities and numbers and constants and things like that I never had an idea about, which I was trying to, but like it seemed like I'm really, really, really like behind all of this, and I don't have the passion to learn it.
It sounds like you kind of knew what you wanted to be doing and you did kind of enjoy that research aspect of things, but you knew that was not going to be like the place that your ideal job or what you wanted to be doing. So how did you make that decision to move from that research position and do something that you would rather be doing?
So I never really knew what I wanted to do. In the time, all I wanted to do, all I knew was, so we were doing a lot of programming by the end of my employment list. So on the way, after the last summer, so basically last summer, because I left in February, right? So after last summer, a lot of other, not a lot, like important people that I was working close with, seniors, left. So I was kind of around trying stuff and having other people like on the same level with me, and things like that. It really became not, productive. And I'm not saying it is a bad thing. I think it's a great thing for them to kind of have this growing experience and maybe growing pains, because it was still a very young lab, right? Kind of understand that seniorship matters and things like that, and you need mentorship and you need seniors and things like that. So that was the thing. So I was lacking a little bit behind, because I had a very weird period after I got COVID, even a year after, I was still very sick and things like that. So they were very, very nice and kind to allow me to work as much as I can, which was not a lot, right? So I did the work that I had to do as much as I can. And then when I got a little bit better, I started looking for jobs. And I wasn't sure what I want to do. By the end of the year, I think it was November or whatever, I've been to Web Summit in Lisbon. And I've seen all these companies and all these startups and all these software engineers doing a lot of cool things. And I was like, I want to do cool things, but I don't know what a cool thing is. But I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted to feel like I'm doing very cool things, which I was doing at the moment, but in a different way, not in an academic way, right? Yeah, and I just applied to the startups that I knew that are in the Netherlands that kind of met there, a bunch to another companies and a bunch of agencies. Because I have a friend that is very much into like agencies. He also has his very tiny agency doing like branding and marketing for people and things like that. And he was living with me at the moment, but he was away. And I started to apply for jobs and randomly told him like, hey, did I applied for this creative agency in Amsterdam. What do you think about it? And then the floodgates opened and he showed me and told me and sent me all I could know about agencies in the Netherlands, which was very cool because I wasn't sure if I wanted to do that, but it finally started to make sense. Like I need something very dynamic and I need to move around, but I also need a structure, which you sometimes arguably don't get in startups and things like that. So yeah, like an agency seemed like a good place. But then realized that all of that is project dependent or client dependent, right? Like you really need to match with the client, the right clients, and to have the ability to be as flexible as I want to be and things like that, which of course they could offer. So it's going well. Yeah. Still not sure what I want to do. I'm just around programming.
Same.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I actually wanted to swing back to sort of change topics, but you were talking about teaching, I think, when you were doing your master's, right? And you made a joke about teaching. You're basically teaching people how to Google. But I feel like that's... excuse me, maybe that's not what you expect from a professor, but like that is like the right way to learn. That's what we try to teach everybody. Amateur teacher? I don't know.
I know what you mean.
But when I'm trying to help somebody learn, you know, one of learning how to Google things and figure things out for yourself is like one of the biggest skills to learn when you're becoming a developer, right? Especially for the first time. So I just wondered if you could tell me a little bit more about like that experience of teaching in that structured, in a structured way as a what do you call yourself, a professor?
Teaching assistant.
Yeah. So as a TA, can you just describe a little bit more about that from like, because I've watched and been on both sides of, you know, learning from the sort of independent online version, right? But I don't think we've had anybody on the podcast who has like taught computer science in this structured way. I might be misremembering, but I'm pretty sure. So I'd like to hear about it. Could you just tell me more about that experience?
No, for sure. But also like they take it with a grain of salt. Like I was a TA, like I was still a student, right? So
So you weren't doing like the lesson plans and stuff, but I just would like to hear about it because it's like the process of learning this stuff is endlessly fascinating to me. And
I think education, especially in computer science, is very fascinating because we'll get it. I think that actually helped a lot. Like being a TA helped a lot because I don't think people have too many expectations. They didn't. I had great students two times because there were two periods. And it was interesting because that's why I think it's very fascinating. Like we had different people of different like levels, right? Like it happened, they were all in first year most probably. I think it was first year, yeah. But some of them had some mathematics experience, some programming, some none, and things like that. But they all seemed to kind of like get stuck in the same kind of places, which I think it's interesting. Like I don't know much about education, but I think it's very interesting to kind of see how they deal in different ways with that. And what I used to do, and I thought it was very funny, not funny in a mean way, it's just funny to just observe it. It's just like, see how they deal with it and then like let them deal with, in a way of like, I was like, oh yeah, look, your colleague did it that way. Why don't you like go around this way and things like that? Which I think it was a nice like, not bonding experience, but kind of in a way of like level it down, especially because for some of it was in my ear as well. Like for some of us, it was so like intimidating to know that we had these people in the class that were, you know, having experience in programming and things like that. I don't know why, because it's never a competition, right? But it was just weird. It was like, my God, they know everything and I don't know nothing and things like that. And then, yeah, later it happened for me to be in that position and, you know, showing people or students as a TA like to ask those stupid questions is very important. And to Google everything is very important. Because I also never understood why it was seen so... It was not seen as like, you know, frowned upon. It's just like a thing of like the stigma of like, oh, I need to know things. It's like, you don't know Java words or whatever. You know how to think, you know? So yeah, I think it was very cultivating for me as well. And also Googling in front of people is cool because, you know, it's like...
Yeah, yeah.
Especially because I'm good at Googling. So I think I like to show off my skills as well.
And it is a skill, you know? I mean, like, and it's about like crafting the right, you know, like figure out what to Google, you know what I mean? Is hard. Exactly. And that's like, that's something I try to do some you know, when people ask questions is... If it's something that was an easy like Google search for me, I will try to share what I search for, you know?
Yeah, like, for sure.
Like,
yeah.
Don't like claim that I knew this off the top of my head, you know? But like, I also want to try to like, I don't mean to do that to be like, you could have just Googled this, you know? You know what I mean? Like, cause that's for not sure. Like, there's that anytime you're using that just word, like the word just, it's probably a bad, like a, you want to rethink what you're thinking because, I knew the right terms to search for to find that answer. You know what I mean? But not everybody does. And you know, that's something you learn over time. And it's an important skill with computer science. A lot of the answers are out there. If you can find them, you know, yeah. I've also been trying to do that on our stream. Sometimes is just Googling things, the same thing, you know, cause we're just like learning, you know, Kirk and I are doing that TypeScript Tuesdays. And so Kirk is mostly teaching. I'm mostly learning, but it's like, yeah, we just didn't know something. So we looked it up and I don't feel bad about that at all, you know, nor should I, you know, I think that's a great, that's a great attitude to have. I would love to see that as a TA, you know, cause I think it's can be easy to, when you are, when you're teaching or in that position of like, I don't know, teaching something. It can be easy to like want to know the answers or want to like seem like you know the answers so that people trust you more or something, like not in like a nefarious way, but just as like a I don't know, for me, this is my personal speaking, it's like I can fall into that trap and I try not, like I it takes effort to sometimes for me to like not do that.
Yeah. You
know? Because I don't obviously know everything and I don't know,
I think,
and it's okay, you know, it's like
so much of it is based on our education, right? Because like you're tested and you're expected to know information, right? You're not expected to look up information and find the answers. And so then going on through years of doing that, it feels like it's not successful to have to look something up like, oh, you failed. You should already know this. But that's not the case, especially with this now. So, you know, it's always... how to find the answer is more important. And I read a tweet, I don't know who tweeted it out, but it was like the difference between a junior developer and a senior developer is they're more effective. Senior developers are more effective at Googling. You just get faster. You know more words that you can use. You can narrow it down more quickly. And I think that's a lot of what it is, right? Like knowing what to look for and what the approach is, because you have to figure it out, and tech moves too quickly to memorize everything that you're doing. So knowing how to Google and knowing that that's what's expected of you is really important. You should not be asking for the answers every time you hit a roadblock. You should be looking things up and figuring out how to do them. And that's Nick Taylor and I did a lunch and learn last week where we kind of talked about, like, what do you do? How do you navigate those challenges? How do you ask questions? That kind of thing. Because it's important.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's great, the way you put it, because I find, so when I think about this, the equivalent I find, with all the respect and love for my parents, for example, that call me every time their phone doesn't work, right? And I'm thinking about this because it's like, look, what I'm doing is just, I don't know your phone by heart. You know, they also have Android phone. So I'm like, no, I'm not saying it. It's a weird thing. I just, like, I didn't use an Android for 8 years now. I'm like, I'm not gonna know what you have to press. I'm just gonna Google it and things like that. But then I kind of took one step back and realized, like, what happened with me, at least, and I'm not sure for how many other, like, people, Eastern Europeans, is that relatable? Not the Eastern Europeans, everybody that doesn't speak natively English, I believe. Like, I didn't have a computer for a very long time, right? And when I had it for the first time, I was young, still young, but, like, I didn't know English. But once I started to learn English, I realized how many things you can Google and how many YouTube videos you can watch. It was insane. It was like the whole world opened. And finally, I started to Google everything. And, like, even for my mom, like, I was like, hey, do you need this? And no. Yeah. And then I think that's the thing. Like, I think that's where they draw the line, you know. It's just like navigating the internet to find answers and things like that, which, of course, it's a skill, right? Like, you have to learn it. They didn't take the time to do it, so that's okay. I'm gonna do it for them. But yeah, like, I think that's how you're supposed to think about things. Like, am I supposed to know my phone by heart? No, of course not, because it has thousands of menus.
But it's not necessary, you know. That's the
exactly.
Other thing.
Why would you? Exactly. Yeah. Why would you want to know all of that if you do it once a year or whatever? Which happened to me, by the way. About talking about phones. I'm sorry. I was coming back from a concert the other week, and it was like a 3-hour train ride, and my phone just froze. And it was not dead, but it was just like the screen was open, but I couldn't click anything. And I tried to restart it the way I know it and things like that. And it didn't work. And I didn't have anything on me. Like, it was just my phone and my wallet. So I sit on a train for 3 hours doing nothing, which was a new experience. You know, I never get to that. Also in the middle of the night. But then I got home, Googled it from my laptop. And there is a second way to restart your phone, you know. And that worked, actually. And I was like, wow, should I know this? I don't think so.
Why didn't you just look it up on your phone?
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Why, right? Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it was a nice 3 hours of thinking.
Wow,
about
so did you, like, yeah, did you, like, go into alternate dimensions or something? Did you ascend, you know?
Yeah. No, it was weird. I wished people would just sit in the same, like, kind of train compartment with me and speak English, because everybody was speaking Dutch around me. And I was like, please, someone speak English. So I just wanted to hear it. I didn't want to talk with them. I just wanted to hear something to, like, think about. It's weird. I never
get
to do
that. Can you speak
Dutch? No. No, I don't. So that's why. But yeah, I never get to think on my own. I always have music playing in the background or something. Very weird.
Yeah, it's interesting how much time we occupy our brains constantly. Like, there's a need. I read this book, Bored and Brilliant, maybe. Somebody recommended it to me, and it was really good. Like, your brain needs time to be able to process different things, to be creative, to, you know, like, store knowledge that you have accumulated. And I think that we don't do that. I mean, I'm in the car. I have a podcast on. I'm going for a run. I have a podcast on. I'm in my house. I have 4 kids. Nobody ever stops. Like, I feel like I might be afraid of silence at this point. Like, what will happen if I spend 10 minutes being silent, let alone 3 hours? Like,
I think I am, but I don't know. I never got the time to actually think about it. I bet I am, right? Like, I should be able to go on a walk and not listen to music, right? Like, that's what I was, but I can't. And I think it's weird. Like, I don't know. It's a very weird thing. And I don't want to
have the same thing.
So none of us are meditating then? We're not.
Oh, God.
No way. There's no way it's going to work. Tried hundreds of times.
Yeah. No, I have the AirPods Pro. And so, like, to push play, you squeeze the thing that sticks down, you know? And the other day I walked out of my office and I didn't have them in, but I thought I had them in and I squeezed my ear. So, and I'm like, well, that was real weird.
Wow.
I'm just so used to having them in my ears.
Wow, that's embarrassing.
Like, so yeah, now, I need to listen to my podcast for 30 seconds while I go get water. Like,
yeah,
exactly.
No, it's true. Yeah.
I do that. Yeah. Or on the toilet. Like, I'm going to the toilet. I can't just, like, think. That's weird.
Have to be occupied. I will say it's nice weather here, like very spring weather, and my kids like to swing on the swings and I like to swing on the swings. And that's like maybe the only time that I can just, I'm still like moving. And my brother was telling me, I can't remember, I think it was a neurologist that was saying to improve your memory, you should try thinking in complete sentences for like 10 minutes a day or something. And so the other day I was like practicing that as I was swinging on the swing next to my kid, like, there is a tree and the leaves on the tree are very green. I'm like, I didn't say it out loud. It was just in my head, but I'm like, this is ridiculous. I never talk in complete sentences, first of all, but also it was really hard. I was like, I was shocked at how much my mind wandered while I was trying to stay focused. It was like, wait a minute. I've just like, how did I get to this to-do list that I'm rattling off in my head? Because I was just talking to myself about tree leaves, you know?
That's like, yeah, exactly. The way the brain just like works when you don't, like, my therapist told me, like, when I used to have this anxiety things, like whatever, moments, like my super plan, which I 100% thought it's working because it made me feel better, was just like, if I feel weird, I'll just like straight up like put on something that I can hear and go for a walk, for example, and things like that, which turns out it's not good. because at the end she was like, why don't you just like sit down and like think about what's happening, or like let your mind understand like what's happening and why you feel that way and things like that, which I'm gonna give it to her. It works. It works for me in a very weird way. It's just like, but then you start to like, I start to like, you know, like as you said, like realize, oh, that's those leaves there, they're actually very nice. You know, and things like that, which never happens when I even before sleep I like to listen, to hear something and things like that. I had a friend coming into my room and I was listening to music and he was like, do you listen to music in your bed? I was like, well, of course I do, why don't you? And it turns out not a lot of people do that. Yeah. It's weird. The brain is weird.
Yeah.
The brain is weird.
I mean, I even, like, I have a fan running when I'm sleeping because I can't take the silence ever. Sleeping in hotels is, like, the worst. I hate sleeping in hotels. They're so quiet.
Yeah.
Or they're really noisy. We stayed in a hotel this weekend, and there were people out in the hallway until, like, 2 a.m.
Oh, no.
That wasn't ideal because, well, I couldn't understand what they were saying because it was a different language. So then it was like less
same
fun.
With Dutch.
Were they happy? Were they happy or are they angry or?
Medium. I'm not sure. I feel like all of the above. But at one point there's like, this was during the day. There were two young boys like wandering down the hallway and you can tell their mom was the one that came out of the room because like, she had total mom face on. Those kids were not supposed to be wandering in the hallway. And she walked with like you are in big trouble. It was like maybe my favorite part of the entire hotel stay. Like, I feel you. I've been there.
Yeah. Universal language.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to live on a moderately crowded city, street for Maastricht, I mean, where there are a bunch of bars and cafes and things like that. And every single night people would fight, but they would fight in Dutch, which was so frustrating because I was so curious. Like, no, like seriously, they were fighting so, first of all, so long, like, you know, you scream at each other for a few seconds and you go, but they were fighting for so long. And every single night I was so, that was my main motivation to learn Dutch, just to understand what are they fighting about?
To understand, like, the drama.
Exactly. Like, yeah. But then I moved, so I don't have that excitement.
I feel like I would be tempted to record it and then try and get it translated.
Translate it after. Never do that. Maybe I should. I tried that with the doctor's office a bunch of times when they have the number pressing things, but it didn't work that well.
Ugh. That's frustrating.
Robot voices, maybe. Yeah.
Okay, so you've kind of like navigated all over this career path. I feel like you've done a lot of different things and have a lot of knowledge. And it seems like you're on a path that you're enjoying now. What advice do you have for anybody else that's kind of like navigating where they want to go? I especially think like there's so many people coming into tech right now. And I think that there's this focus on you have to do this one thing, like you have to do whatever program or whatever self-taught path you went on. But there are a lot of different jobs in tech, you know. So what advice, like based on your journey, would you give to people who are like doing that exploration and trying to break in right now?
All right. So, I mean, without adding to the gatekeeping, because, you know, everybody, I feel like we all have our ways and things like that. I'm not gatekeeping it, but I can talk about like what worked, and which is very tricky as well, because I was actually talking a few days ago with someone, with a person that also just started, switched from physics to computer science, and now they got an internship. And I think it's hard. It's hard for me to be in that position. And also, I think I asked a question about this the other day at Virtual Coffee, because I still feel like everything is so overwhelming already, and it's so hard to find ways to do things. Like me chipping in with things would add to that. But I mean, it's very interesting. So, like my advice in that regard was what I was thinking at the moment, based on my school experience and my jobs that I had on the way, is, and I'm not sure exactly how valid it is, not valid. It's just like, we already have arguments about this, right? Like the right way to start to learn programming and things like that. Oh, should you learn React, although you don't know JavaScript or whatever. But what I find very interesting about my experience is that I spent so much time trying to learn things, fundamental things, which of course are very important. I'm not going to argue that. It helps us in many, many ways to do our day jobs. But I didn't have time to focus, you know, like not professionally, but like academically on things that I'm actually using at my job. So look, you do need to know JavaScript to work in React and things like that. But if you spend too much time on that, you'll get a little bit later to these things. And you might, as I did it with electrical engineering, I missed the opportunity to get excited about it. So I feel like if we would spend so much time on learning the basis of JavaScript, and this is not me advocating for people not the basics. I'm just saying, like, the division of time is very important. So I think doing, I don't know, for example, frameworks, and then picking up as a hobby or as a second thing, learning the fundamentals that you don't know would accelerated a little bit more in the way of, because at the end of the day, as you know, as developers, as engineers, we have to find solutions and to build things, right? And we're gonna eventually, in some setups, you get paid to use the best tools you have to build the best things you can build. and how you get there, like the tools you use to get there, I feel like they're more important than the things that I spent a lot of time learning in, you know, all these formal setups, which was great. I'm not denying that. But just thinking out loud, I think that was the thing. Focusing on tools and then learning the basics and fundamentals as we go, because I think that would help us, you know, get a little bit more creative. I don't know if it makes sense, but that's what I was thinking about the other day.
No, I think that makes total sense. And I think that's a great way to end the episode. So I want to thank you, Bogdan, for being here with us today. We really enjoyed having this conversation with you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. And it's very nice to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. This episode was produced by Dan Ott and Becca Harat-Weigel. If you have questions or comments, you can hit us up on Twitter at virtualcoffee.io or email us at podcast@virtualcoffee.io. You can find the show notes, sign up for the newsletter, check out any of our other resources on our website, virtualcoffee.io. If you're interested in sponsoring Virtual Coffee, you can find out more information on our website at virtualcoffee.io/sponsorship. Please subscribe to our podcast and be sure to leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.